This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080. The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2. You can watch us on YouTube or on Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher across the foam marble table. As always, Rashawn Taylor.
Gang.
What up? How Gang. You doing?
That's all I'm on. Just watching this football, having a great sports weekend, man. How about you, bro?
We're doing that sports. We're doing that hockey.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I'm game.
And then we got Jordan Schultz, obviously behind the glass.
You woke me up with the hockey mention. I was kind of like,
as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
I mean, there is a Kraken game tonight.
Oh,
I do know that. I was gonna go to Seattle.
Up at the crack house, huh?
Yeah, not happening. But there is a game up at. Is it still called Key Arena?
Is it? I think so.
I don't even know.
No, it's not. It's the Climate Pledge Arena.
Thank you, Climate Pledge Arena.
Oh, yeah.
It was I love Key Arena way better for Key Bank.
Yeah.
Is Key Bank still a thing?
I was going to say.
They
are.
Are they?
Key
Bank still around?
They're the only place you can get a Seattle Mariners themed debit card. Why would I know that? Because I'm a diehard Mariners sick fan.
I was going to say, you would know that.
Well, shut up. You're right. Yeah. I might have seeked that information out at one point this year.
It's crazy to see old banks like that. Not old bank, but just ones that we don't see commercials for anymore. I remember at a point we saw Key Bank commercials all the time.
Bank talk to start the show.
Man, like I was riding by, I think I was in Seaside or
That's
something like that.
Sunday morning programming right there for you.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's some olds that care about banks.
This is Sports Sunday, and we're going to talk about banks this morning.
I started my account at First Interstate Bank.
Your APY for your savings account should be no lower than...
God.
That'd be good information to give, but we're not going to do it today.
No, we're not.
We're not going to do that today.
No, we're going
to... But if you want to do that, you can go online to... No, we're not going to do that.
Well, we're going to talk about some football, obviously. Show is Football Sunday.
Football!
I was going to roll in here and hit you with the Dave Chappelle, the add two shots of Jaeger.
tequila, beer, four cheeseburgers, four bong hits, man. Yeah, it was an interesting morning for your boy.
You did that this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Like
just
all
this
morning.
Oh, okay.
Just this morning.
The hour you've been awake.
I mean, hey.
The two shots of Jaeger. Yeah, exactly. I did that all this morning. Four bong hits, man.
No, that's cool. So, I mean, obviously, watching the big game last night. Yeah.
Yep.
Do you tend to drink more when things aren't going well for your team?
Well, it was definitely one of those where I was with two of my good friends, and I think towards the end of the game or halfway through the fourth quarter, I was like, I'm buying us shots if we win this. I was like, I need a shot of some whiskey if we pull this one through.
Well, definitely celebrate more. Like, I mean, like in game, like when you're watching the game. Is there ever like a time, especially if your team is down, and if you're a Blazer fan, you probably do it a whole lot. But man, bro, pour me a shot.
You're pickled at this point.
Pour me a shot, man. It's third quarter. Things aren't looking good. You know, it's third and 10 again. 3-and-out, man. Pour me another shot or hand me the bonk. Like, do you tend to do that, or are you just kind of like, Let's ride this out. Let's be patient, and you know we'll take like, some shots after the game.
Do you get more trashed from a great win or a bad loss? Is basically what you're saying?
Yeah, basically.
Let's put it this way: I usually will stop drinking at like some point during the game if it's going okay, and then like maybe afterwards I'll have a beer. But if it's going horribly, or if we're gripping like Duck fans were last night, you kind of continue the consumption. At least if you're me, it's like, oh, grab that beer because I'm extra nervous. That's not healthy.
Yeah, and also there was just something about yesterday, and I was thinking earlier in the day, I was like, you know, your boy hasn't had a good time in a while as far as getting a few drinks in him.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I mean,
getting a little liquored up. So I was like, yeah, let's have some fun tonight.
You worship the porcelain god this morning at all?
No.
Good for you. Kept it down.
The lady friend, she almost did. It was funny. I left the bar last night at around like 11. And then she called me and was like, or I called her because she was at a friend's birthday party. Also, she's, you know, from Hawaii. And so it was one of her Hawaiian friends. And then they had a bunch of Hawaiian friends over there. And I was the only white guy there. I was the minority.
Oh, how'd that feel?
I didn't like it. Richard. Oh, okay. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah. Welcome to it.
I wasn't happy. Yeah. Not cool with it. But then she was like, I was like, all right, are you leaving? Are you at her? Are you still there? She's like, yeah, I just took another shot. So I'll be leaving soon. I'm like,
nice.
No.
Yeah, no,
I was like,
yeah. How many is that? That's four.
Yeah,
we're getting you an Uber.
I'm like, I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't you worry. I'll come grab you.
Weekend to get turned. My wife usually only has two drinks, but on Friday we probably had like six each. So Saturday morning was a little in the clouds, I should say. Just trying to wake up and like get through that fog of like being alive after you've had too much to drink. It's like, oh, God.
Well, then yeah. I felt bad because I showed up and the birthday boy, he was... who's a Wazoo fan, and sorry to Wazoo fans out there.
Yeah.
Losing to New Mexico yesterday. Yikes.
Could have lost the Air Force.
Yeah, you could have. I mean, that's something to get into later in the show as well. But then, you know, a bunch of people brought over different types of whiskeys for him, and then someone, and actually it was my girlfriend and her friend, they went in and bought a bottle of Westward whiskey for him.
That's
which,
fancy.
Yeah. Like at, I think the lowest cheapest bottle is like 70-80 bucks, yeah, or something like that. Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, do you want a shot of something, you want to drink or something? And I'm like, well, you know, listen, of all these, I'm going after the Westward. And then I didn't even realize that the seal hadn't even been broken.
Oh,
he broke the seal and then started, and I was like, oh, well, I didn't know this wasn't already opened. Like, son of a bitch. Like, I don't want to be that guy. And he's like, no, it's fine. I'm like, well,
when it's your birthday,
I was like,
and you're that drunk, you don't give a damn what.
Chris Dahl, let's go, yeah, sir. Yeah, lay it out. Yeah.
What do you mean? $3,000 bottle of, yeah, not a problem. Let's open that tonight. Tonight seems like and really, if we're being honest, if there's any great night to open the expensive bottle, like your birthday.
Well, this
is pretty significant, right?
And again, this kind of goes back to the point you were talking about: is his Wazoo Cougs. I mean, they took a loss last night,
and he was feeling pretty good when I showed up. So that was one of those, not good in a sense of like,
to forget. Yeah.
Yeah, not good in a sense of, oh, my team lost, but in a good of like, yeah, he had plenty in him at that point. So
think about this, keeping in the in mind the Oregon Ducks and the history of the Oregon Ducks. Has there ever been a time where they took a huge loss and you were already drinking and it was like, man, screw it. I'm just going to, we're going to get really drunk tonight.
Probably a Civil War too.
I'm trying to think.
The national championship game against Auburn.
Yeah.
They should have won that. Hand off the ball. And
lost
score.
By a field goal.
Score.
The national championship against Ohio State. I was down in Eugene going to school at that time. And that was one of those.
You got killed in that game.
Where I didn't get drunk afterwards, but it felt like, you know, the only way I would have that night is with a win. Like, if we win a national championship, and I'm in Eugene, like,
more crazy.
This town is going to burn
it's
to the ground.
It's going to explode.
Tearing it apart, yeah.
Yeah, so, whereas after, like, once the game was coming to an end and he knew that Oregon was out of it and they weren't going to win, it didn't really, it wasn't party vibes. It was not party vibes. No. It was like a Monday night. It was on a Monday. We all had school the next day, so it wasn't exactly like.
There would have been a lot of.
All right, let's still get lit.
A lot of absences the next day had they won.
Yes. Oh, 100%. They might as well have just not had classes the day after. That is one of the biggest missed out events of my life is being in Eugene when they were in the national championship game and them losing. I remember going on the social medias the next day and seeing the parties and everything that was happening in Columbus and just,
that could have been us.
So pissed.
Could have been us. You know, I wasn't old enough, but game 7 was like, I really, if I could have drank, I would have, but I noticed all the people, kind of older people there, a little close to me that were Blazer fans, having some drinks and just talking about this epic meltdown that, mind you, there was no replays of the game. There was no social media. There's no YouTube. There's no way to know any of kind of what happened at that point. But, yeah, I definitely would have been having some, a lot of cold ones and maybe even some warm ones.
What I did finish off the night with, though, is because I was at that house with a bunch of Hawaiians, is they had this this dish called lau lau. Have you ever heard of this?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Like, the guy, Rodney, whose birthday it was, he, like, got me a plate of it, and he's like, man, you don't have to eat it if you don't like it. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm eating this. I am crushing this right now. It's fantastic. It's pork. Wrapped in leaves. Ooh. Yeah, like
I think they're banana leaves, I think it is, or something.
Sometimes banana leaves, sometimes I'm looking at it right now. He had taro leaves.
Okay.
Like taro root leaves yesterday. And man. Boy, that was that was a great way to end the night right there.
Absolutely, man. Hawaiian food, like,
dude, it's the best.
Sneaky underrated. Like, I mean,
I feel like when people are like talking about their favorite types of cuisines, it might be the fourth or fifth pop that pops up, but it's a sneaky 12 seed that can make a run.
Seriously, but if somebody, like, we can say, hey man, you want Mexican tonight? And you'd be like, you know, well, how about Italian? It's like, oh man, I just had pizza yesterday. But if somebody throws that, hey, let's get some Hawaiian food. There's nobody that's like, nah, let's not do that. I had
some 808 last week.
Local the other day. Ooh, like, yeah. You know, there's nobody that's going to turn down good Hawaiian food.
It's very hearty, very delicious.
So check this out, fellas. Speaking of like, well, it's not, I don't know if it's Hawaiian food, but it's definitely, you know, Hawaiian-esque. So family and I are going to get a little cabin in the, you know, in the mountains this year for Christmas. Should be pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, man, I'm going to get a kaja box and I'm gonna make a whole pig.
Oh, this you've talked
about. I'm talking about this box and I've never really had a reason to get it. Now I'm just like, you know what, I think I'm gonna go ahead and get that and make a whole pig for Christmas this year.
Best of luck.
Forget a prime rib, baby. We're gonna do something different.
What is it called again? A kaja box?
Pig on a spit. Oh my god.
Nah, it's not necessarily spit. So okay. Like it goes like in like a,
I think it's a kaha.
A kaha, yeah. I think, okay. I don't know if it's a, if the it might be a soft J. I'm not sure.
Apparently you just run.
Yeah, for an extended period of time.
Yeah, you know? Maybe it's La Kaha China model.
There you go.
Maybe it is kaha. Yeah, I don't know.
So you put it inside and it's kind of like butterflied and then you put coals on top of this, you know, on top of the box. Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to it.
You're making me hungry, you guys.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Get that.
I didn't get breakfast yet.
Get that that pig skin that's nice and like.
Absolutely. That's where I'm doing it.
I don't know what you call it. Caramelized? I don't know what the hell.
Kind of nice and crispy.
Crispy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. Now I'm really hungry.
All flavorful.
I did not have anything to eat this morning so far, and I'm going to need something hearty. Something good after the show, maybe some like Pine State biscuits or something.
Ooh,
like that.
Biscuits and gravy from Pine State is clutch.
Oh, yes.
Get really the money is, ball, man. Add an extra egg. It let's really go.
Is. A Reggie Deluxe.
Reggie Deluxe is good.
Stepping Stone Cafe is not far as well. You know,
maybe some fried egg. I'm in love. You ever had fried egg? I'm in love
from
Portland.
the
city
no,
of Portland.
I have not.
It's been a while.
I didn't know if that was a.
It's been a while.
Fried egg. I'm in love. Is what it's called, but they have these sourdough breakfast sandwiches, and the one that they're most known for, there's like this little, they put like pesto on it.
It's delightful.
Yeah, yeah.
Need that.
It's banging. Absolutely banging.
I'm looking at it.
Shout out to Portland and all your creative ways to do an egg, man. Here we've got a bunch of, you know, nice egg spots or, you know, nice place to get a good egg sandwich.
We're lousy with good eggs. No. We got great egg city, Portland.
No, yeah, we got it. We got them in spades.
Dude, you want some good eggs? Go to Portland, okay?
Screw the farm. You just got to go to Portland, Oregon.
Seriously.
They have the best eggs. All right, let's get into some football stuff. Normally, when we start at 9 a.m., I like to go NFL first and then push college football to the second hour, but I think with last night's events, we dive right into a particular game that I think we know we're all talking about.
Oregon State and Air Force.
Pepper needs new shorts. That was a close one, eking that one out. Get right into the Ducks going to Wisconsin and Camp Randall and eking out a win here on Football Sunday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz behind the glass. This is Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan. The Oregon Ducks, they have clinched a spot in the Big Ten championship game, believe it or not. That is the result of winning against the Wisconsin Badgers last night. But my God, they made it interesting and made it nerve-wracking the entire time, too. Wisconsin coming off of a bye week, which I just realized this morning. So keep that in mind, is that they were coming in full of piss and vinegar, rested, ready to go. They knew that their bowl eligibility is very much still up in the air as far as who Wisconsin still has to play. I don't know if they have two games or one game. I mean, they're 5-5, I want to believe now. Yeah, they got Nebraska and Minnesota next. So Wisconsin fighting for their bowl eligible lives. I want to say it's 23 straight seasons that Wisconsin has gone to a bowl game. So you got an extremely motivated Wisconsin Badgers team last night. Oregon traveling into Camp Randall for the first time as a Big Ten member. Night game at Camp Randall.
Big Ten game of the week.
And I'm not just saying this to be, you know, try and seem like, oh, I had a feeling all along. But as I'm driving to the bar I was going to watch the game at, and this is what happens, you know, every so often where you get closer to the game and you're just like, I don't know how I feel about this. I'm not feeling good about this. There was just something where I was like, here we are late in the season, Oregon Ducks having an unbelievable season, 10-0. And now we're going to go and play a 5-4 Wisconsin team that has nothing to lose in Camp Randall. It was giving me Arizona State late season game vibes where Oregon would go and trip up against one of those teams. And so maybe 10, 15 minutes before kickoff, I'm just like, I don't know about this. I got some weird vibes. I got some weird vibes on this one. Because also, this happens too. The last time I remember this happening was when they were playing Utah in like the Pac-12 championship game a couple of years ago, where the matchup is set obviously earlier in the week, and you're like, oh no, I like our chances. I like how
should beat them, no problem.
Yeah,
right?
Should be good. You know, I mean, earlier in the week when the spread came out, I was like 14. I was like, Ducks covered. Ducks covered. No problem.
I wanted to hammer that with the house I don't own. Thank God I couldn't.
And then as we just got closer, and right before I'm like, this is, I feel uncomfortable for some reason. I don't know why. And boy, that came to fruition last night with a 16-13 win by the Oregon Ducks over Wisconsin, barely getting out of there with a win.
So So I asked,
like I said before we went to break, Pepper needs new shorts.
Man, I asked the question about drinking earlier, and not to say that I was necessarily drinking because I wasn't drinking yesterday, but the edibles, the chewables were definitely definitely.
Hopefully,
being
they kicked in and it kicked in.
It kicked in just in time because they end up pulling it out. But I saw a team that was just, I don't want to say cocky because I'm not sure, but I saw a team that just didn't feel like this game was as important. If you think about where the Oregon Ducks have been, this has been the toughest year that they've, in my opinion, that they maybe ever had as far as the schedule in front of them and the teams that they have to play. You know, they've never had to play Ohio State and Michigan in the same year.
Like, yeah,
that's,
but
that's number one. Like, granted, they'll play Penn State, you know, later on for the Big Ten championship. Will they not?
Well, no, they will not.
No.
Penn State, it's going to be either Indiana or Ohio State.
Indiana or Ohio State. So, again, they play Indiana, who's also undefeated right now, correct?
Indiana, yeah, the fighting Kurt Cignetti's.
So that'll be
a big extension. Yes, he did.
That'll be another top 15, you know, matchup, you know, on the books for Oregon. So this has been a pretty crazy schedule for them to play, you know, within the first year of the Pac-12, I mean, of the Big Ten.
Yes, but again, like, Michigan is not Michigan of years past.
It's still Michigan. It's still the big house. Like, that's number one. And Michigan just came off of a national championship win. So, and that in itself makes that a huge game on the road and everything. And then, of course, the fifth, sixth game of the season with Ohio State. So if you look at their schedule, it's like, man, 11 games in, they're still not even to the championship game yet. Like, hey, man, they still got Washington, who beat them twice last year. Now, mind you, is this the same Washington team as last year? No. You know, however, there is a rivalry there. And this
they'll
is
be
how,
giving you it you know, all.
You think Wisconsin was going to give it everything. Washington is probably a little bit better than Wisconsin is right now. And so they're going to be giving it everything to beat Oregon. So based on that, this schedule has been tough. But yesterday was a game I didn't think they should have. It shouldn't have been close. It's too many penalties, too much just, it was almost like apathy. It was like they were like, you know, okay, we're here, we got to do this, I guess. We, you know, we got two more wins on the schedule before we get to the championship game. Like, let's go out here and do what we do. And Wisconsin was ready for it, and their defense was ready, and you had a quarterback that threw 98 yards and almost beat you. Seriously, like, you couldn't get it done on 3rd and 10 multiple times. 3rd and long, too many stupid penalties. Like, come on, man. So a lot of stuff was the refs seemed like they were trying to help, you know, both sides with the, what was it? What was that? The first
call? The stupid fast,
like, yeah, abrupt movement or something like that. I was
yeah,
like,
they
what?
Called that. I've never seen that called more than like once in a game. They called that, I think, three times.
Yeah, I've never seen it called like a abrupt movement from the D. Like, huh? We were thinking everybody, even the announcers, were kind of like, "What is? What is that? I don't think that's a thing."
Me and my buddies were talking about like penalties that aren't really called anymore, and we were like, "Dude, nobody ever gets called for clipping nowadays."
Clipping,
a clipping that. Yeah, and honestly, that. If you look
I was
at
like,
that
we
call,
had a clipping epidemic in the late '90s, early 2000s.
Yes, and, if you look at that call,
clipping was like, a huge problem back then.
If you look at that call against Wisconsin, that wasn't a clipping at all. Like, he kind of hit him on the hip, on the thighs. Like, that's
oh,
not a
the
clip.
The chop block.
Yeah, the chop block. Excuse me. It was like, yeah, that's not a chop block right there. So I don't know. Some of the calls were a little iffy. So it's funny to hear the commentators, you know, speak on that. But I don't know. I think they needed this win. It was an ugly win, and sometimes you have to win ugly. And I think that's what they've done. You look at most of their schedule. With the exception of the first game of the season where they're still kind of working things out, and against Boise State, they haven't had any ugly wins. Like, this is the first, they had to really fight and fight back and try to make something happen in the second half. And like, I'm Dylan Gabriel, second half was amazing for the most part. You know, he really didn't miss. He was kind of hit and miss the first half, but second half he was able to make some plays, even with his feet. Like, that's a gutsy win for Oregon, and they're going to need that down the stretch.
To your point, really quickly, Rashad, I do agree that you think after beating Michigan in the big house like they did, they would go into, you know, a Wisconsin. I get that the wind was an issue, but before that, we did figure out, like, okay, like, Oregon is the much better team than Wisconsin, despite Wisconsin's 2 weeks of preparation. But, yeah, a couple of factors. I don't know like you said, if it was apathy or just like not ready to start the game or just tired and so beat up. I mean, you got no Marcus Harper, you got no Tez Johnson, you've got no Jordan Birch. Like, there's so many of your key pieces that you're missing. You almost lost Justice Lowe. You almost lost Dante Manning. It's just that point in the season where it's really tough after you've been playing so good not to have like that trap game or that game where you kind of have to deal with just a gritty one touchdown performance. I don't even remember the last time the Ducks scored one touchdown and got the win. Usually teams that do that lose, but this is Big 12 or a Big 10 football compared to the Pac-12. And thankfully, Oregon has that big upfront presence and the defense that, oh my goodness, showed up at the end of the game and got physical and really just shut down the Badgers, made it, I would say, at least at the end, just that little sigh of relief, feel a little bit better, but it was close. Not sure it should have been that close.
Well, I've been saying, hell, maybe since the Idaho game, maybe since the Boise State game, because that this defense is going to keep them in a lot of games.
Fast.
And that is right. Exactly what yesterday was again. And there's part of me that, you know, I wonder at some point, is it going to come and bite them in the ass towards the end of the season when they're playing a better team? Where it's, if the defense is left out there too many times, that a better offense, a better team is going to take advantage of that. Because for the second week in a row now, also, the offense against teams you should have looked better against have looked kind of clunky. I mean, Dylan Gabriel yesterday, he was missing throws. He was missing passes. Even some of the completions he had, where he was putting the ball
behind players and stuff
like that. It was not his best performance by any means. He kind of started getting it together in the second half when, you know, he needed to most. But even him taking a weird sack towards the end where he essentially tripped and fell
lost
over.
A shoe and all type of stuff, yeah.
Like, it was just, you get a bye week. Huge, great timing for a bye week after having two games like that. You need to correct some things at home against Washington, because then you're going to go into a Big Ten championship game against either the number two team in the country, who, yes, you already beat, but again, you are going to be going to Indianapolis for that, which, if you are playing either Ohio State or Indiana, Oregon fans, you better travel well. Because that is those two teams are going to be extremely tough. And if you are not playing your best offensively, Indiana has a great offense. Ohio State, they have playmakers all over the field. I mean, we already saw it once. You got to get some things figured out in this bye week and show out against Washington in 2 weeks, because it is go time. It is make or break time. And
absolutely.
I mean, hell, if you, at this point, like, even if you take a loss in the Big Ten championship game, you're probably still going as an at-large team, but you can't take a loss against Washington.
You cannot.
And then take a loss in the Big Ten championship game. At that point, you are asking for trouble. So you need to start finishing strong here.
And you're absolutely crazy if you think that Ohio State hasn't been replaying the end of that game over and over and over again just in preparation for potentially beating Oregon again, man. So neutral-ish playing field when they play at Lucas Oil Stadium for the Big Ten championship and everything. But man, Oregon has got to figure out this offense, because if it looks anything like it did against Wisconsin, I don't think they'll be able to beat either an Indiana team or Ohio State.
Well, let me quickly point out, just to kind of, I felt like I went a little negative in my first take, so I will wrap this up with saying that Oregon really did, you know, get a hard-fought win in a game where only basically one side of the field was able to be scored on. The wind was terrible. I don't know if you heard it in like the umpire's mics or the referee's mics while he was on talking to the crowd about penalties, but like that whipping wind on the field, neither Wisconsin nor Oregon was able to score on one end of the field. So I'm not sure their offense has as many problems as some Duck fans think. It might just be the fact that they were dealing with the elements, the fact that they were dealing with injury, but really just look at the fact that they were able to get such a win in such a gritty way Oregon is a good football team that can beat you in a shutout. They can beat you in a race to the end. You know, last team basically that has the ball wins, but they can also beat you now, we know, in the trenches, which I would say, guys, this is not a type of game that we have usually seen Oregon win before coming to the Big Ten.
Well, it was this game. I mean, even the Boise State game earlier this year at home, I was like, Oregon doesn't usually win those games. They usually F it up somehow.
They beat Idaho by 10. Remember that. Like, that was a game that we all looked at the beginning of the season, like, uh-oh, this could be a tough year
That's a scrappy Vandal team, okay? Yeah.
And wasn't this the third time during the season that they were losing at halftime? It was Wisconsin, Ohio State, and Boise State, right, that they were losing at the half, so pretty crazy.
But, Jordan, you bring that up, like, winning a ugly game like this and coming out on top, I think when it was 13-6, I said to my friends, I was like, you know, with how bad this game has looked, the fact that we are only down by 7, I was like, this is easily a winnable game.
It's an SEC score. You know, you look at this at the end of the game, and the score is 16-13. That's we've seen that in some national championships with SEC teams. Like, you know, so, I mean, it was a shout-out to the defense, because even though it wasn't high-scoring, it was because the defense was able to do their thing and make and keep Wisconsin out of the end zone, or at least keep them from getting a lot of field goals. So shout-out to that defense that played really well, especially with the big exclamation point at the end, you know, by getting the interception and turnover in the end zone.
And also, I mean, Mateo Uyunglele getting the interception. I thank the gods that we get him as an Oregon Duck for one more year. That guy has been dominant this year. He seems like he just got bigger. I remember in the first game of the year, I'm like, dude, did he grow like 3-4 inches and like shed some baby fat? And just like, he just is an absolute animal. And I am extremely grateful that he not only is an Oregon Duck, but he's an Oregon Duck for one more season. That dude is going to have a hell of a NFL career.
He's a beast.
He is amazing. All right, let's take a break. Let's look at the rest of the NFL or college landscape because we had some upsets. We had some top 10 teams. We had some playoff teams, according to the bracket, take a loss, including the Primetime Bowl. Did you see the Primetime Bowl, Rashad?
There's a Primetime Bowl now?
Well, the Isaac and Suk Primetime Bowl.
Oh, no.
Yes, we will talk about that. Some other games in the college football landscape next here on Football Sunday. But first, Schultzy with his Sports Center update.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Keep it going, baby.
Sound just like him.
Something like that.
Look just like him too.
I mean, I've been told. I've got a mean set of chest hair that I can open up my.
Got some taco meat to hang out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my god. We're watching. Oh my god. We have the ESPN Sunday NFL countdown right now. And former Falcons receiver, Harry Douglas, is at the Bills tailgate, apparently. And he went to jump off a van to try and jump through a table. And it went terribly.
The table...
Like, the table didn't break underneath him.
He tried to step on it?
Yeah, he went feet first, and the table just kind of slipped out from under him, and he fell backwards.
On the concrete.
Yeah.
Real hard.
He
should have just tried to land on the table the way he's supposed to, and he wouldn't have been hurt like that.
He might be dead.
Oh, man.
And I'm shook it home. Off. Yeah, he shook it off home. Like, I'm good.
I'm going home. My God. I don't need to stay here anymore for this.
Harry, you're bleeding from the back of your head. There is a giant gash. I'm good.
Careful, buddy. You're going to have your own, like, remember when the lady stepping on grapes in the vineyard, she fell and that, he could have had one of those.
If you, go on Twitter and
that's an oldie
but goodie. Because Harry Douglas, like I said, damn near just died at a Buffalo Bills tailgate. I wonder if anybody's died at a Bill tailgate yet.
Probably. If we looked it up,
many,
I guarantee.
How many lives?
We just don't hear about it because it's probably a common thing.
Yeah, I guarantee there's at least one person that from the Bills Mafia that has passed on from doing something silly at the game.
I mean, I've seen pictures of Bills fans having fun with snow candy in the stands during the game. So I can only imagine what they do before the game.
Mind you, Bills fans, this is...
And throwing sex toys from the stands.
Yeah, right? Thank you.
Yeah, I forgot about that, man. Like,
why did that tradition go away? Why can't they keep doing that?
Bring the naughty back.
Keep throwing them onto the field.
I'm glad they stopped that. I'm sure there's nothing more distracting than me and like a safety or something looking down. It's like, what is this from?
What the hell?
College football, right?
Oh yeah, about that.
You shut up. Can we talk about some college football? Okay, because it's funny. Like, obviously there is a lot that goes into football games and planning and preparation and game plans and technique and all that football stuff. But isn't it wild how, like, we can see things on the schedule, like us just as fans, and just be like, oh yeah, they could lose that game. Like, and it like happens. Case in point, BYU Kansas, the primetime, the Isaac and Suk Bowl. Kansas, top 25 team to start the year, started falling apart. I think they have 3 total wins on the year now.
Four
after that. They had 3 wins coming into the game. But I saw that game scheduled 2-3 weeks ago, just kind of seeing, like, all right, what's BYU's path the rest of the season? And seeing that, I was like, oh, yeah, they could lose that. Like, that is a losable game. The way that BYU has played the last few weeks, they've had some games where they had to escape with a win. I mean, obviously, last week, the Holdy War with Utah. A couple weeks before that, barely escaping against Oklahoma State late in the game on a Friday night game. And then their game earlier in the year against Baylor. I mean, they've had some games where it's just like, man, you've gotten lucky so far.
Mm-hmm.
And now they got to play an Arizona State team next week who is just playing some great football this year under Kenny Dillingham. But BYU, they get their first loss of the season. And again, just seeing that game with Kansas on the schedule, it's like, Kansas is not having a good year, but that could be a game that they easily lose. And sure as hell, Kansas pulls it out. And now BYU, as the leader in the Big 12 for the time being, they get their first loss of the season.
Well, number one, shout out to BYU for even being in on top of the Big 12. It looks a lot different now, with the loss of Oklahoma and some other teams in the Big 12. So, but hey, man. BYU was undefeated for 10 weeks, something. Yeah, 10 weeks. And then they just happened to take a tough loss to a really good Kansas team that just doesn't know how to finish games, a lot of times. You look at Kansas's schedule, it's like there's a lot of these games that could have been won. They just they didn't know how to pull them out. Like they lost by 2 to Kansas State, which is number 16. They lost by 4 to Arizona State. You just talk about how good of a team that they are. They lost by 4 to West Virginia. They lost by 3 to UNLV. They lost by 5 to Illinois. They're right there in a lot of games. They just couldn't finish. And this was a good game for them because they were able to put it all together and get a big win. Obviously, and again, a 4-point win against BYU, the number 6 team in the country coming into this game. But you're right, Joe. Sometimes we can look at a schedule and just be like, yeah, because that just we know how they play. And we know that this could be a tough game for them coming in undefeated or however many games. Yeah, but I think Kansas is better than their record says they are. And I think that's where we kind of looked at that and was like, yeah, they could lose this game.
Another top 10 team that goes down. And another case in point, I was talking about it earlier this week on my other podcast that I do with my buddy. And we saw that Georgia was a 10-point favorite against Tennessee. And he was like, dude, hammer that. He's like, I think that just that is Vegas showing that's how much confidence they have in this Georgia team over Tennessee in this matchup. And again, it's like Tennessee has to know that, right? The players have to know they're an underdog. They're 10-point. And then sure enough, they get shut out in the second half and Georgia ends up winning by 14. And Tennessee, who was, you know, basically controlled their own destiny as far as getting to the SEC championship game, now they have a second SEC loss. I want to talk about chaos. The SEC the rest of the way. I mean, Texas right now probably has the best road to getting to the SEC championship, being that they only have the one loss. But, I mean, Bama, they have their two losses. Texas and Texas A&M will play each other at the end of the season. So something's got to give there, whether it's the Aggies pulling that out or the Longhorns. One of those teams is going to have two losses. But you have right now four teams with two losses in the SEC. I don't know how the tiebreakers all shake out, like, and who gets the nod of the two lost teams right now. It's telling me that Georgia has it. You know, they have the head-to-head versus Tennessee, but Alabama's got the head-to-head versus Georgia. Ole Miss has the head-to-head against Georgia. So
it'll be a good old coin flip like they used to do back in the day. Because honestly, there's
some Rochambeau.
Yeah, because they're going to look at points and they're going to look at, you know, all the intangibles that kind of go into it. But yeah, I think it's going to be a crazy – somebody's going to be pissed off because you're going to have a bunch of 8-2 teams, or excuse me, at that point, of 9-2 teams that are looking outside, from the outside looking in, like, that should be us. You know, and when they start doing these at-large bids – do some of these land somewhere? Do, you know, will they still let in a two-loss Georgia? Will they still let in a two-loss Alabama, a two-loss Tennessee? You know, it's like,
well, so there might be a three-loss SEC team that gets the nod.
There is, and you know, and so I'm it's going to be crazy. Somebody's going to be pissed off. There's really no, for us, there's no right answer. For me, I think it should be Georgia still. I still think Georgia is the best team of all those SEC teams that are competing for a spot, including Texas, you know. So, you know, I'm not going to look at those little trip ups they had this year and say that they're still not one of the best teams in the country, even though they are ranked 12th. But I think Georgia is one of those teams we got to look at going into this playoff. I think they will be in. I mean, barring another loss, you know, I think they will be in. I think they could still be one of those teams that makes it all the way to potentially the national championship.
So we'll see what who makes the jump in this week's playoff race. I mean, SMU might get a little bit of a bump. Boise State, they might kind of stay stagnant. I mean, Tennessee's going to fall. BYU's going to fall, obviously, but by how much? And then, I mean, we are getting closer and closer, and we'll see what happens as far as in the Big 12. But you've got a Colorado team who is still winning games and still could potentially make the playoff.
Yeah. Hey, man. Shout out to Dion. Shout out to Dion. They called you a joke. They said it wouldn't happen. You won four games last year. Everybody wrote Dion and that squad off and everything. And now look at him playing some of the best football in the country and still alive. And potentially, like you said, Joe, could be in the playoff. You know, if things kind of shake out the way that –
you know who else could be in the playoff?
Who's that? UNLV?
No.
Oh, okay.
Arizona State. I mean, they crushed Kansas State last night, and they are sitting at right now at the top of the Big 12 standings. It's 6-1 BYU, 6-1 Colorado, but right below them is 5-2 Arizona State, 5-2 Iowa State. Now Arizona State needs some things to go their way.
I got guys at my wedding.
But right now, dilly dilly, stomp the bus, forks up, baby. And guess who they get to play next week? Arizona State, BYU. I mean, if Arizona State wins that game and BYU then has two conference losses and Arizona State has two conference losses, Arizona State's getting the nod above them.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what Colorado has left. I think they have to play like Oklahoma State. I think they have Kansas next week, actually, as well. Colorado, Kansas. Correct. That is next week. And then I don't know what Iowa State's schedule looks like as well the rest of the way.
So is Washington State going to play Oregon State for the Pac-12 championship?
I guess that would be the de facto Pac-12 championship.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get into them in the second hour, but we got to take a break because we got Who Do You Love next. We got to make some picks before these before this NFL action gets started here at 10 a.m. here. We've got just under 10 minutes until kickoff, and it's time for us to lose some money. Your boy Fisher's on a roll. He's locked in right now.
Your boy Shad is on a bad one.
Yeah, I'm on a losing streak too.
Automatic winners, call my number. First pick's free on the voicemail.
7-0.
I'm red hot.
We get to that next. Who Do You Love right here, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
Who do you love? Rashad and Joe share their predictions and look back at last week to see if they still love their picks. It's time for Who Do You Love? Part of Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Who do you love? Week 10 results. Your boy, he did not get his Vikings to cover 7. Pick correct. Damn those Jaguars. I hate them so much. They have lost me money multiple times this year.
Yeah, Peterson might be fired after today.
Being annoying. Vikings did not hit, but the Bills, they do cover against the Colts 4.5, which will now lead to Anthony Richardson making his return to the quarterback position for the Indianapolis Colts.
The Jets are favored today against the Colts, by the way.
Which, I mean, listen, that...
No.
I could see the Jets winning that.
No.
I mean, who knows? That might be one of my plays here.
Well, Devontae Adams, he's going to catch 2 tutties, right?
Eagles covering 7 points against the Cowboys. easy. Easy dub there. For Rashad, he had a 2-1 week. That puts me at 14-9-1 on the season. Rashad, his picks, Bears, Pats, under 38.5. Hell, under 30. Yeah, almost under 20.
12. Shoot.
Dear God. 49ers do not cover, though, the 6.5 against the Bucks. Apparently, Nick Bosa didn't want to tackle Baker Mayfield, so that kind of kept him alive there. And then near Steelers Commanders hit on the over, 45.5. So that brings you to 10-10-1.
All right.
And then Schultzy.
Playoffs.
My man.
Uh-oh.
0-2-1 last week.
Yeah, it was bad.
The Lions push on the 3 points. The Falcons, they go up against the Saints that get the interim coach boost. I told you. I was like,
always happens. There's always a big win. Now
and
they're going to keep him.
Derek Carr came back, too. It wasn't just the head coach.
My Derek Carr?
The Rizzler.
Yeah.
The Rizzler getting the dub.
He kicked some ass.
And then Broncos Chiefs over 42.5. Now that I look back on it, if the Broncos make that field goal, would that – I don't think that – was that to tie or was that for the win? I think that was for the win, the Broncos. So it wouldn't even mattered, actually. It wouldn't have sent it to overtime. But that puts Schultzy at 9-13-2. Ugh. Come on, guys. Let's make it a little more competitive. All right. We got a few more weeks left. Let's get this a little bit closer race, shall we? But on my first one, I am going to ride my Cowboys heater in betting against them. Texans, 7 under. Got 7 points on them. They are a favorite in the Texas matchup here on Monday Night Football. The Cowboys, it's bad. It's bad. There's part of me that feels like they might have some pride in this game, being that it is the Houston versus Dallas game, the Texas matchup,
yeah.
Monday Texas night, Bowl. And that they have already been embarrassed multiple times at home this season. They haven't won a home game since December 30th of last year. The Cowboys. We're going to be getting close to a whole year with them without winning a home game. I don't think they're going to win this game, but I'm going to take the Texans to cover the points on it as well because Cowboys are just dog ass right now.
Man, I'm looking through the schedule and trying to see which ones I really like. I don't see any games I really love.
It's so a tough week.
It is. But I'm going to go Minnesota visiting the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee is quietly like the worst team in the league. How about this? They haven't scored more than 17 points at all season. at any
That's
point.
That's not true.
That is. Look up their schedule. They haven't scored more than 17 points. They've scored 17 five times.
Well, they have...
In their losses.
Oh, in the losses.
In their losses.
I was going to say, they beat the Dolphins with like 30 points.
Because this is definitely going to be a loss for them. The over-under is 39.5. I'm taking the over just because I think they will get their 17 points, but I think Minnesota will get at least 28.
You're taking the over of Minnesota in Tennessee.
That's correct.
Okay. I'll mark that one red for you. That's a loss. But
I'm saying I think Minnesota is going to score.
Jordan.
Tennessee is not.
My first one, I cannot believe that this is actually on the schedule like this, but Kansas City in Buffalo is an underdog. What, a 2.5-point underdog as of right now?
Yeah, it's the kind of the rule. Whenever you can get Mahomes as a dog, you know, take it, right?
I'm hammering the plus 2.5 for Kansas City at Buffalo today.
Hammering it, he says. Kansas City, okay, Chiefs. You said 2.5? It's been bet down?
I've got 2.5 on Bovada, and let me see what ESPN's sitting at really quickly.
I'll give you the 2.5.
All right, I appreciate it.
I am going to go with the Packers covering against the Bears by 6 in Chicago, as we've been seeing, and we're probably going to have to get into this in the second hour. The Bears are falling apart. They had to get rid of Shane Waldron. There's been calls from the team, some players wanting them to bench Caleb Williams. He has looked terrible the last couple weeks. The Chicago team has looked terrible the last couple weeks. There's part of me that kind of wants to take the under 40.5 as well, just because, again, the offense has looked so putrid for the for the Bears. And the Packers have been a kind of weird team this year as well. Jordan Love also looking kind of weird and having some not very good interceptions this year. But they are coming off the bye. Whereas the Bears, again, falling apart. Give me the Packers to cover the 6.
I'm going to go with, so I'm playing Madden a lot lately, and my player was drafted to Seattle, so I'm a Seattle fan on the game. But they are visiting the San Francisco 49ers, who finally have everybody, or at least most people, you know, back. And when I say everybody, I mean Christian McCaffrey. Their entire offense is able to move now. They are a 6-point favorite, and I considering the way Seattle's been playing lately in real life, not on the game. In the game, they're cold.
We're running the table.
Yeah, right. But right here, they're not very good. And so the point spread is 6, and I'm taking those points.
All right, got you in there, Jordan. Pick 2.
This is a dangerous one, but the Ravens are at the Steelers. This is definitely one of the premier matchups in the AFC this week, and Steelers are 3.5-point underdogs at home. I do see a couple of lines are still at 3. I got it at 3.5, so I'm going to say that Pittsburgh plus 3.5 hosting the Ravens. I get it. Lamb Jack is good, but man, I've been leaning on Mike Tomlin all year, and he has just been gritty, able to get the win with, you know, 2 quarterbacks. Whoever's in can somehow find a way to get it done. So I say Steelers, you know, they don't have to win this, plus 3.5.
I like it. Do not bet against Tomlin. I have learned that lesson many times this year. That is something you do not want to do.
Did anybody see Tomlin, like a fan was like, hey, Mike, good job, go get him, Tomlin. He's like, man, I'm effing working. Like, jeez, never mind.
Sorry, Mike.
You're right.
Jesus. I'm going Falcons as the road dogs, covering plus 2. I think that the Broncos, I mean, they had a good game against the Chiefs last week where they almost won it. But I feel like that we're going to start seeing some regression from this team. They have a great defense. But I think that the Falcons are also in a spot where they need to win. You're coming off of an embarrassing loss to a Saints team who had lost 7 in a row, I think, before that. You were favored, a divisional opponent. Losing to a team like that is something that has been in the locker room all week. They've been wanting to get back out and redeem themselves, and I think they're going to be able to do that against the Denver Broncos, who I just – yes, they're 5-5 or whatever their record is. They are holding on to one of the wild card spots at this moment in time. But I think that we're going to start seeing some regression from the Broncos and the Falcons start to take the and take more of a lead in this division. And they need to, because the Bucs, I don't know if you've seen the Bucs schedule. They got a pretty pretty nice schedule the rest of the way. I'm pretty sure they have to play the Saints and the Panthers twice still. So the Bucs, they could have a little run here at the end. So the Falcons, they need to get a win here today. And they will do so. They will cover the two.
Last game I'm going to pick is I'm going to pick the Bengals visiting the Chargers today. Chargers are a 1-point favorite. The Bengals have a, I feel like they're going to be fired up because they're coming off a game they feel like they should have won. I think there are a lot of fans out there that feel like the refs kind of jobbed the Bengals in their last game against the Ravens, and they should win. But quietly, the Chargers are one of the best teams in the league. Nobody really talks about them. And they 6-3.
They haven't played any good
quarterbacks. They haven't played any quarterbacks yet, but you're still winning those games, which is good because you're beating teams you're supposed to beat. And that's, I think, a lot of times it's been the Chargers' MOs lose to every team. But they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat. This will be their first test against a really good Joe Burrow and a Bengals team that's kind of finally coming together. Again, they're a 1-point favorite, but I think the Bengals are going to win this game.
Jordan.
I'm going afternoon game. Actually, excuse me, Sunday Night Football player prop, Ladd McConkey. He's been Justin Herbert's, probably only weapon in the wide receiving core, I would say, so far this season. I do think that he's going to have a nice over today. The number is 56.5 that I got him at. So Ladd McConkey over 56.5 receiving yards for the Chargers.
Over 56 receiving yards
for 56.5.
56.5 for Ladd McConkey. That's a deep cut. That's a deep cut on the album right there.
Yes, sir.
All right. Picks are in. Games are about to kick off. You can put on Red Zone, but keep us on the dial for hour number two of Football Sunday coming up next here on 1080 The Fan.
Dude. 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 I guess you've got a point there.
This is Sports Sunday.
Hey, Skid Mark Steve.
Hey, dude.
You still just hanging out playing Nintendo?
Well, if you must know, I'm in my second year of med school, and I'm training for the summer games. What are you two up to?
Just hanging out, playing Nintendo.
A recap of the sports week, a preview of today's games, and next week's big stories.
You think Shaq got rich playing in Orlando? Hardly. He made his fortune moving to L.A. You know how much he makes now?
As much as he ate playing in college?
What? No.
Now, here are Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
What happened out there?
You know, it was a team effort, and I guess it took every player working together to lose this one.
Thanks, Doug. And so...
Hey, want to do an interview with me?
No.
With Sports Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Bob, in all my years of calling games, I don't think I've ever been this excited.
You're excited? Feel these nipples.
Hour number two, Football Sunday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos. We got Red Zone on the TV. We hope you do as well. Maybe your game of choice if you're a Sunday ticket guy. But hopefully you have us on the dial, on the radio dial, on the app, even on the desktop or on the phone, on YouTube.
Yeah.
Or any
however,
of those.
However you can get it.
However you're listening, just please stay listening.
Man, right? Since Red Zone got started, it's just so hard to watch individual games, I feel like.
It kind of is,
it's, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually kind of prefer individual games at points. You know, I feel like you can't, Red Zone doesn't tell the whole story of
it does
what
not.
A team looks
it's
like
true.
And everything, so.
But it is.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It is tough because it's like, well, I want to know what's happening in all these games. Yeah. And, you know, but... And this is what kind of kills me is like there's some people out there in the sports media landscape that come across as if they watch every single game, every second of every. And it's
seriously.
Just, and it's just like it's just yeah, it's not possible. Like, I understand if you granted we don't do this job for a living, so they might have more time throughout the week to.
Well, you kind of do
go back. Well, I don't. I'm still working. Yeah, I still have a job. Like, you know, yes, I am an Odyssey employee,
at
but
a
I'm not.
Place.
I'm just not sitting at my desk watching film Monday through Friday.
No, but like a lot of these guys have producers. Some of these takes are already pre-thought out, pre-written out, and they're either reading them off a prompter or off a set of bullet points. And sometimes that's them coming up with it earlier in the week, but a lot of times it's like, this show, I'm the only producer. But like all those people, they got like 10
people
writing stuff.
They have teams of people like coming up with stats real fast, and like these dudes aren't that smart. And like, I think some of them are, you can hear how smart a Tony Romo is when he's talking about, okay, this is about to be a pass. Watch for the see. Okay, you can find out how smart somebody is as a football player, you know, at that point. But for the most part, nobody's just sitting around, like you say, for 4 or 5 hours a day just looking at film.
Some guys might, but again, there are some dudes out there that come across
they're called quarterbacks.
That they're able to watch every single minute of every single game, and and it's just it's not possible, right? I'm calling bullshit on that.
No, unless you're a quarterback, unless you're a star DB or linebacker, like you're not sitting there like picking apart every single piece of film,
watching the All-22.
Mel Kiper.
I do like to watch the All-22, but not of every game. Actually, and that is with Red Zone, you get that too. You can watch the All-22 of the NFL teams.
Yeah, if you have like the NFL Plus or NFL Premium.
And, that's how I do Red Zone, so it's really fun.
You can get access to it, yeah. The film that you might not want to watch this week in college football was the Oregon State Air Force game.
gosh.
This is getting, like, it was already bad, but oh my God. The Oregon State, they go to their third quarterback in as many weeks, go to Jabari Johnson yesterday, and this was the worst offensive output. Like, it was bad the last 3 weeks, like, with Javonte McCoy, it was bad,
weeks.
And it was like, okay, we need to make a switch here. And then you go to Gulbranson, and it was like, okay, this is pretty bad too. We need to make a switch. And they go to Jabari. I don't know if Gulbranson was injured, what the case was there. I wasn't really, you know, following the it's been tough to follow the Beavers in general, but it's not like I was looking at injury reports or looking up. I just saw that, all right, this Jabari Johnson kid's going to be starting. They did not even get 200 total yards of offense. They didn't even have 100 yards at halftime. It was painful to watch, and this is going to get even worse before it gets anybody. We could be getting into some real dark times for the next few years for the Oregon State Beavers, because at this point, what is the indicator that the situation is going to get better for the Oregon State Beavers? There is none. Like, you are playing a Mountain West schedule, and you're getting boat raced. Like, it is, you are getting embarrassed by these teams. And until you have a solid foundation structure of, all right, this is our team. This is where we are. This is our conference. This is our future. This is who we are. Then you can start to build on that. But until you figure that out, it's going to get ugly. It's going to be a few years of crap.
And what's so crazy is the team that's supposed to be comparable to them is Washington State, and they're having a great season. I mean, mind you, obviously, you know, a big loss, you know, yesterday, but Washington State is 8-2. You know, they're sitting here looking like, man, we've actually taken this Mountain West schedule or this kind of just thrown together schedule that we have, and we're making the most.
It was a bad day for the Pac-2 yesterday.
No, it was not a great day for the Pac-2, especially when the only other team is getting beaten up by a team that has, what, three wins?
Yeah, Air Force. So, they've been playing better lately, but again, it's that was you were favored. That was your chance. Like, you had to win a couple of these last games to get bowl eligible, and now that's the death knell. You're playing Boise State and Washington State to finish the season. There goes your bowl eligibility.
No,
you need a miracle to beat both of those teams.
And you're not going to beat either one of those teams. And, like, it's been a free fall for the last 5 weeks for Oregon State. And luckily, we talked about it before, Jordan and I were actually at one of those games.
We watched the start of it.
Where they kind of start falling. But actually, it started the week prior when they lost to the other Nevada team, Nevada. And then they just haven't been able to figure anything out. It's become...
At least they were in those
two games. Really hard. It's become really hard to watch Oregon State play.
And it's
really hard to watch.
I tuned it on. I had it on the quad box on YouTube TV yesterday. And so I was watching this, and it was brutal. And credit to Air Force. I mean, they played a great game as well. I mean, they were a load to deal with anyways. But it's bad. When you have an offense that is literally unable to do anything, you're putting your defense back out there time and time again, and that's what you're going to get.
Hoping for the best. And, I mean, Trent Bray, I'm not sure if he's the guy.
Yeah, well, you know, what have we seen?
But, again, I just think you're in a losing situation,
no,
regardless
totally.
Of who you put out there as the coach.
Yeah, you were, and it's been you've spent some time trying to figure out how to get back to it. But you look at their season last year, and you say there's no way that this team should look like this year, even with some key losses that you have. Losing Damian Martinez this year was a huge blow. And I think you thought that you got Jam Griffin and you have a good running core here, and then Jam isn't really
He goes down.
And so there have been some things. You don't have a starting quarterback, which has been the issue for Oregon State now for the past, what, since Derek Anderson? Seriously,
Jake Luton.
Jake Luton finished
strong.
Jake Luton, you know, but again, it's been those two guys in the last, let's be honest, 20 years. When is the last time Oregon State has had a legit quarterback that we can say, okay, like he's going to go ahead and make some noise here on the next level, or at least get your team to a position to be bowl eligible every year? And it's been a long time. Javonte McCoy seems like a great kid, but unfortunately, I don't think he's a starter for a big school like Oregon State.
What's the phrase? Like, when you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
You don't have none.
So what? When you have three quarterbacks, do you have issues?
Is what you have.
That's a good one. Yeah. So when you have two quarterbacks, you have none. When you have three, you have issues. I like that. I do think also the issue lies with Trent Bray. People, Joe, you asked the question to start. Like, you know, what do the Oregon State Beavers have to build on, you know, from this season? Is there anything positive? No. And really, I key in on that looking at Trent Bray. And I don't mean to attack the dude personally, but he was elevated. Obviously, Oregon State, you know, didn't really have many options at the head coaching position, but he was elevated at a time where I'm not sure he was really ready to organize a program, to lead practices, and to be that CEO. That's really what you hear a college football coach having to do, really be the guy that's, you know, both of his hands all over the organization, is what I'm trying to say. And I'm just not sure, you know, under Dennis Erickson and then a couple of years in Nebraska and under Jonathan Smith again, that he actually got, you know, fully developed to be able to do that, or if he even is the guy that is ever able to do that. So, you know, you wonder where they're going from here. I don't I don't know. I wish they would have gotten a guy like Bronco Mendenhall, somebody with head coaching experience to come in through these tumultuous times. That's not the biggest name.
Where's Bronco at?
He got hired, by like a, it's not San Jose State, but it's like one of the smaller schools either in the Mountain West or
University of New Mexico Lobos, who just got a win last night.
So yeah, actually that is the Mountain West, right? Yeah, Sam. Yeah, there we go. University of Mexico. So, no, I wish that they would have gotten somebody with experience, and I really think that, along with basically no talent at the quarterback position,
they got some issues.
It's settling the future for you, unfortunately.
Well, yeah.
Who wants you now?
Yeah.
Like if the Big Ten didn't want you then, in the ACC, or who wants you now?
They gotta get something figured out.
At least last year,
again, if you don't have any foundation of what you are as a school, where you should be, I mean, you have no home. You're lost.
Homeless.
Yeah, and so until you are able to have and know who you are and stop playing games, as far as like, oh no, we are a Power 5 team. We just were, but we can't really compete against Mountain West teams this year. But that's just because we're in a bet. Like, once you get that all figured out, then you can start maybe rebuilding this program to where it can be competitive.
The homeless ass Beavers. They put their clothes on a stick on their shoulder like this, and
with like the
and walk around like a bindle.
Yeah.
That's what's happening right now with Oregon State. The way things are going, nobody's going to want you anytime soon. And that sucks, because now you actually have a cool stadium.
Well, we go from one bad offense in college to one bad offense in the NFL. And I have to ask, why are we doing this? We do this every time. I'll get to that next here. Football Sunday, 10 of the Fan. All right. We were talking about the Beavers' putrid offense. Let's talk about the Bears' putrid offense. But I said before we went to break, like, why do we do this? We do this every time with rookie quarterbacks. Quarterbacks in their second year, even.
The Bears.
I don't know if it's the age we're living in nowadays, but it's everything is so knee-jerk reaction. I mean, we can't even get through a quarter of a game without being like, this team sucks. I knew this is how it would go. And we're already just crowning, knighting, vindicating people. We're tearing them down. I mean, right now on Red Zone, it's showing the Steelers-Ravens game. The first game that Russell played in, there was people at halftime that were like, well, this Russell Wilson experiment isn't working out. It's like,
oh, he's already missed two games. We need to go ahead and start Justin Fields over him. I knew he was better. Russell's been washed.
Yeah, one quarter and it is decided. No more. And so, listen, I did not have a lot of confidence for Caleb Williams coming into this season. I knew that he was going to have to be coached and taught a lot of things as far as, like, getting rid of the ball, not playing hero ball, not scrambling around and trying to run all over the place to try and make something happen. Be a pocket quarterback, but also you got to make your decisions quick in the NFL. It's one, two, bam, make a choice. Go through your reads, get the ball out of your hands. And he's struggling to do that right now. But the idea of benching him, the idea of being like, well, Caleb Williams, I don't know, maybe I was just wrong on him. He is a rookie that has played 10 to 11 games. I understand it has not looked good lately. He had some games where it did look good. I just don't get why year after year, and maybe what it is that there is a quarterback in the class that is obviously playing above everybody else, right? Jaden Daniels right now is the standard. He is the bar for this rookie class. So when you are watching one quarterback have success versus a number one overall Caleb Williams 2 years ago, you have Bryce Young and you have CJ Stroud. And CJ Stroud, it's like, all right, well, that's the standard right now. It seems like we are just so quick. I mean, we were doing this a few years back when Tua was in the league, right? And then it turns out, oh, once you get rid of Brian Flores and get a offensive-minded coach like Mike McDaniel there, and look at him now. Now he is – that Miami offense is night and day difference when Tua is playing versus when he is not. I just don't get why we do this year after year. The jury is still out. You know, wake me up in 3-4 years and tell me what Caleb Williams is like then. And then we can make some decisions, right? Maybe it's just the day and age. We can't have nuance. We can't have a sample size more than just a few games to, decide if someone is great or not. But we're doing it again, and
hopefully that Caleb Williams can get it figured out, because, you know, I would like to see him succeed. I would like to see the Bears succeed. I just thought it would take a little while, and sure enough, he's a rookie. Look what happens. Look what's happening.
Well, and I think, you know, it's a couple things. One, Washington has finally cleared, cleaned house, and they finally did all the things they were supposed to do, getting rid of a crap owner, you know, changing their, rebranding themselves to, you know, the Commanders.
New head coach.
You know, new head coach. They did all the things they were supposed to.
New OC.
Everything about it is new. You know, you've got, you know, a good receiver, a good solid number one, and Terry McLaurin, that's going to be there, you know, for you if for a young quarterback. You know, you've got a good enough running back, you know, for the most part, and Brian Robinson that's there that can make some
Austin
noise
Eckler
for
you.
You
picked up
Austin
as well.
Eckler, you know, you put things around this young rookie to make things not as difficult for them. The Bears have been in disarray since
to their defense, they did that this offseason too. You know, they drafted Rome Odunze, and
they kept Eberflus.
They got DJ Moore.
They kept Eberflus.
But that's, you know, that is, I think, where some people are wondering, like, was that the right move? Like, you got rid of Luke Getsy as OC, which was the right move. I mean, hell, he didn't even make it a full season with the Raiders this year. So that move right there, I was like, okay, that's good enough. But yeah, you still rolled with Eberflus. And that is looking like he's gone after this year.
He's not the guy.
Unless they make a magical run. And kind of he saved his job last year with the run towards the end of last year, too.
He did. And a lot of that was based on the progression of Justin Fields, right? And Justin Fields starts the season with the Steelers. And what do you know? Like, Justin Fields can play a little bit. Okay, he's not as good as Russell Wilson, which is why he's not starting right now. But he can play. And I think just Chicago has just been set up for failure. They did try to make some adjustments and try to you draft a Rome Odunze, like you said, but he hasn't really came to fruition yet. Like, he's still working on becoming that guy. But this is what fans do. Fans are impatient. And when you see a guy like Patrick Mahomes come out in his first year and never look back, it's like, oh, okay. You know, like, this is what we expect the trend to be. And you look across the league at Jaden Daniels, and he's doing what he's doing. And then you look at your number one overall pick. And here's the cool part. If you are pick number one, you're going to a trash team. Let's just say that football, basketball, baseball, whatever the sport is, if you're drafted first overall, that means you're going to a franchise that was just the worst or among the worst teams in the league. And so putting this new quarterback there and a new receiver doesn't necessarily change that. I'll say this, Chicago's playing better this year than they were at this point in the year last year. So even with the couple losses, so it's still a lot of season to play. This is only what, week 9?
Week 10? We're week 11.
This is week 11 already?
Yeah. You look up.
Week 11. So even still, there's still 7 weeks of football left to play.
Here's the thing that is not in the Bears' favor is schedule. They have to play the entire division still. Everybody, Minnesota twice, Detroit twice, Green Bay twice. They're playing Green Bay today. And then I believe their two non-conference or non-divisional games are against the 49ers mm-hmm. and the Chiefs, if I'm correct on that. Someone can find that out for me. But they have one of the toughest. I think they have the toughest remaining schedule.
So they have the
The entire division.
The Packers now, so they're playing. They have the Vikings, the Lions, the 49ers, the Vikings again, the Lions again, and then the Seahawks and Packers.
The Seahawks, that's who it was. Correct. Okay.
Well, so and then quickly, as far as like quarterbacks, you know, being turned over so quickly after being an early draft pick, that's just kind of unfortunately the way of the world now. It's not when we were kids. It's not like it was when Tim Couch got 3 seasons, 4 seasons with the Browns. Jason Campbell, you know, with the Redskins at the time, I think he got 3 or 4 seasons. There's just example after example of head coaches lasting longer at that point, you know, high draft picks lasting longer at that point. Joey Harrington even got multiple seasons in Detroit. I'm not sure that a high draft pick gets more than 2 seasons at this point, because a football coach isn't getting signed to more than a 3 or 4 year deal. And if he's got a bad season, I'm not saying that every owner's like this, but we are seeing more and more reactionary behaviors like a Dave Tepper, for instance, in Carolina, going through 3 head coaches in 3 seasons. Yeah, that's not every owner, but it's not just the fans. Everybody wants results, and they want results now. I don't know if it's just the human condition, or maybe it's the amount of money that has gotten absolutely insane that they have to invest into each player.
Well, I think that, you know, it's a – it's case by case basis in a sense too, right? Like, I mean, we look at Arizona. I believe it was they had who at quarterback before Kyler Murray? Was it Josh Rosen? And then they were like,
yeah, he was there. He was their guy.
And then right after, was that who they had before Kyler? And then they had the number one pick, and it was like, dude, you just took a quarterback with your first round pick.
Was it Josh Rosen?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think
he was the 10th pick in the 2018 draft.
Yeah, and then in 2019 draft, they have the number one overall pick, and they're like, listen, I know that we just took a quarterback.
But we have this guy.
But we have the number one pick, and Kyler Murray is looking like the best player possible on the board, best quarterback. I mean, maybe we pull the plug on this Rosen experiment and go with Kyler and start fresh there. So, I mean, that worked out. I mean, look at the Cardinals now, right? You get a healthy Kyler Murray on this on a Cardinals team, and they're usually winning games. Mm-hmm. So I get it. I mean, we did this with Josh Allen, right? And now he could be winning an MVP this year. So it's just our patience. And granted, it is case by case, team by team. There are some owners, some front offices that are quick trigger, and they want to turn this around and make it a winning team sooner than later. And I think that the Bears and the Bears fan base and
they're
the
impatient NFL, now.
Like
it's been a while.
They expected it to be automatic. Hell, yeah. I had them in the playoffs. I was buying the Kool-Aid after thinking that it was going to be a rough rookie year for Caleb. I started buying in to this team a little bit more as the season approached, and I had them in the playoffs. And I mean, it's going to probably take another offseason to fix some of the things that Caleb Williams needs to get better on.
I'll say this though, you know, at the moment, Caleb Williams has what, 4 wins under his belt. You know, another 3 wins for a season. That's a solid rookie season, right? You know, and so I still think that, you know, you see the talent is there. And I think that's the thing about Caleb Williams. We're looking at him. We're not saying this kid's a bust. We're just saying I think the Bears feel like they should be better right now. But it's going to take a little bit. You clearly see you have a talented quarterback. You have a talented wide receiver, or really a receiver room. You have a talented, you know, group there. It's just going to take some time. And you play in a division that's not easy to win. And I think that's the other part they have to take into consideration. Like, we play in a really tough division that continues to get better for the most part.
Yeah, it's again, don't understand why we do it, but nothing's going to change now. We're very reactionary, and we want instant answers on some of these guys, and it's going to take a little bit. So, all right, we have a very interesting week where it's something happening is the first time since the 70s, and I want to talk about one of the marquee matchups on the NFL schedule. We'll get to that next year, but first, Jordan Schultz with a SportsCenter update. For the first time since 1970, we have a week of NFL football that has 3 matchups of teams with at least 7 wins. So in this week 11, we have on Thursday night, we had the Commanders Eagles. Right now, we have the Steelers Ravens. And then later today, we have the Bills versus the Chiefs. Let's start with the game that already happened, the Commanders and Eagles on Thursday night. And as you guys know, being a Cowboys fan, one of the teams I loathe the most in this world are the Philadelphia Eagles. Absolutely cannot stand that team, that fan base, everything about that franchise. And it seems to me that their quarterbacks, I mean, their team gets propped up a lot, I think, in the media. But Jalen Hurts, to me, is there another quarterback in the league that has that type of weapons and wins games despite his performance? Like, that team wins despite Jalen Hurts. When you have Saquon Barkley, when you have the offensive line that you do, when you have the weapons that you do, it seems like he should be able, like, he would be the next part to take this team and make it much better than it is. But I am just always underwhelmed by Jalen Hurts' performance and what he is as a quarterback.
Dang, that's a tough question.
I'm trying to think of, again, any other quarterback in the league that is propped up by his team more than him. If you take a lot of quarterbacks and give them that team, then they're an automatic
contender. Depending on the year, Dak.
I would say the Niners,
is one of
too.
Those things. I was going to say Brock Purdy.
I would agree with you on Dak. You know, I feel like when he does not have the pieces around him, then, you know, granted, that's for, right, a lot of quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, there are some quarterbacks that are able.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated.
where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Able to make their teammates better and make their team better by the how they play and how the offense is schemed. But again, I am underwhelmed by Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, it's not pretty football, especially when you look at some of the quarterback play right now. Like, you look at the fact that you can't really touch quarterbacks and they're just like throwing the ball. They hit every blade of grass out there. I just feel like sometimes Jalen Hurts just is moving too fast, or like something in his brain is still kind of moving too fast either way, because he should be better. And his numbers aren't bad because he doesn't throw a bunch of picks. He doesn't make a lot of interceptions, but he also doesn't make a lot of scoring plays either.
I feel like he doesn't really throw that much at all.
No.
It's kind of like a Bill Belichick managing a Mac Jones, like in his rookie season, and able still to get the Patriots 9 wins into the playoffs. Like, yeah. Jalen Hurts actually is on pace to set a completion percentage record for himself in his career so far.
He's a game manager. And like this, I think when you look at his skill set, you say he should be more than a game manager, but the truth is that's just kind of what he is. You look at the amount of yards he throws per game, and it's almost kind of like, you know, Brad Johnson type stuff. You know, 114 yards, 236 yards, 230 yards, 202 yards, 221.
He averages 220 a game, which puts him around what Trevor Lawrence is doing, what Derek Carr is doing. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is passing more per game. He's right there with Carr, Jaden Daniels, and, you know, Justin Herbert. But granted, that offense is, you know, you want to talk about a team that wins despite their not having any weapons.
Oh, for sure.
That's the Chargers. Yeah. And their offense has looked better, but I digress.
No, but I think Jalen Hurts does a great job, like, of just manning the offense, making sure we don't make mistakes. You know, he's only thrown 5 picks, you know, on the season. He's thrown 12 touchdowns, which is tied for 10th in the league. So he's right there as far as what the rest of the top 10 quarterbacks are doing. He's 13th in the league as far as yards. So he's having, like, a good season. But I think once you get a guy like Saquon Barkley in your team, I'm not throwing the ball a bunch of times anymore. For what? And I think that's where they are right now. They're trying to play it safe. They're trying to keep him healthy and keep him on his feet and make sure they can make a deep run. And so far, you know, it's working out for him. Like, I don't think Jalen Hurts is good enough to be your best player right now. But luckily, in the situation he's in with Philadelphia, he doesn't have to be. Because you have a guy like Saquon Barkley who can come in and get you over 1,000 yards already at this point in the season and 8 tutties. So you can kind of lean a little bit on that. And I want to say it's the only team in the AFC, or excuse me, NFC East that has a guy like that.
Well, and I just think that when it comes to playoff time is, all right, just stop the run then. Load the box. Make him beat you. Make Jalen Hurts have to be a quarterback and throw the ball 35 to 40 times and have to dice up a defense. Like, do you think he's going to be able to do that when they need him to?
He's done it already. Like, am I tripping? They've been to the Super Bowl, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. He did get there.
Yeah. So
he had a better season that year.
Yeah.
Too.
But so he's done it already at this point. But he didn't have a Saquon Barkley at that time, and he didn't have somebody he can just lean on for short yard touchdowns. Usually, all the short runs that were coming from Jalen Hurts. Right now, you don't have to do that anymore because you have a surefire superstar in that position to be able to take a lot of those short gains that he used to get. So I think he's just playing his position right now. Take care of the ball. Make sure we don't turn it over. Make sure we put our team in position to score. I don't have a problem with that, you know. But yeah, you look at the stat sheet every night, and it doesn't wow you. You're not like, oh man, he should be up for MVP or anything based on those numbers. No, he probably shouldn't. But at the end of the season, when his team is knocking on the door of the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl, you will say Jalen Hurts did his job.
Go to the other game with 2 7-win teams that is going on right now. That is the Steelers and the Ravens.
Let's go.
Steelers are up 3-0. The Ravens, they wish they could have 6 points right now, but Justin Tucker, he has missed 2 field goals under 50 yards.
Which is crazy.
Might be a little old, man. NFL.
Might be getting a little old now, right?
I mean, I don't know if there was some sort of streak going on. I could have sworn there was a streak of Justin Tucker.
He's one of
field goals under 50 yards or sure leg
chip shots in the league.
They're chip shots.
But he is, I mean, the last couple weeks, because I want to say he missed a kick last week as well, but he has missed 2 field goals already today under 50 yards. I want to say one was a 48 and one was 46 or something like that. But
he had a streak of 65 made field goals in a row from 2016 to 2022. I think that's what you're probably thinking of for Jay Tucker.
But the Ravens, I mean, we've seen the Ravens offense, how they've looked this year with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. And they went and added some weapons on the trade deadline with Deontay Johnson to join Zay Flowers in the wide receiver room. But man, the Steelers, it's kind of funny, and you know, hindsight is 2020, is that a good amount of people were saying that this could be the year that Tomlin does not finish 500. I was one of them.
Yeah. Take that.
But when you look at the last couple years since Roethlisberger has been gone, this is probably the best quarterback situation that they've started the season with.
100%.
Right? They've been rolling with Kenny Pickett the last couple years. They had Mason Rudolph for 1 year. Am I forgetting anybody else? Like,
who was the starter before Roethlisberger took over? Was it Tommy Maddox? Who was it?
Oh, like, I think that's who he replaced
season.
That's
good situation to go to, not knowing what you'd have with this big guy from Ohio. But yeah, I think we owe Russ an apology. The NFL sports fans owes Russ an apology.
I
disagree with
that. I don't even know if I need to like go back and see what my takes were on Russell Wilson, but he did not have that bad of a year last year with Denver.
He did.
It was not that terrible. I just think that him and Sean Payton and how that contract were structured with the Broncos is that they needed to stop playing him because he was playing better than they wanted him to. Where they were going to have to end up paying him more.
What kind of stuff is that? Like, you're doing too well for our team, and we don't want to pay you because basically we don't like you. Like, that's the craziest thing. Denver, I'm not mad. I'm glad Denver is in the position they're in right now. That was silly. What was the coach's name prior to Sean Payton?
Was it Fangio? Vic Fangio?
I can't even remember. He was forgetful because he was that. He was that bad. And so it was never Russ's fault, you know, for everything that was happening up there in Denver. But now to watch him play on this team, play with a coach like Mike Tomlin, get the best out of him.
It was Hackett. Yeah, that's Hackett, right. Yeah. Nathaniel Hackett.
Like,
yeah.
You know, the last 3 games Russ has started, you know, they've had like 300 yards plus passing in the last 3 games. Like, he's got his team sitting at 8-2 right now? 7-2?
7-2.
7-2. Like, get out of here, man. Russell Wilson can still play.
But seeing his performance the last couple of weeks, and you know, Justin Fields, he started this season pretty well, but also I think you saw moments throughout those first 5-6 games or whatever that you're like, okay, this is Justin Fields. This is who he is. Russell Wilson makes throws downfield where you're like, yeah, Justin Fields is not doing that. Like, he is not dropping it down into a bucket. I mean, one of the best long ball, deep ball throws that we've ever seen is Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. And him to just take those shots, make those throws, take those chances. The touchdown he had last week to Mike Williams. Again, it's just you see him do the make those plays, and you remember how good Russell Wilson is and why he should have, you know, granted he had the calf injury, but why he was the number one quarterback for this team, and justifiably so. Look how great he's been playing.
You think the Seahawks regret letting him go at all? Just considering how bad they've been?
No, and granted, it was just that relationship and that team and him, it was just, he was going to go even if they didn't trade him, right? Like, he was not going to be on that team. So
I feel like they never respected Russ in Seattle. I mean, obviously loved him because he got a Super Bowl. That was Richard Sherman's Super Bowl. You know, that was the Legion of Booms.
Marshawn Lynch.
Super Bowl. Yeah, and all those guys. Like, I feel like Russ was, he's kind of the scapegoat. Because, why throw that slant right there? Well, he didn't make the call. Like, he ran the play that the coach called. So, I don't know. I feel like Russ has got a lot of flack from Seattle. I don't feel like they respect him the way that you should respect the guy that won a Super Bowl for you.
And we'll take a break and talk about this last matchup of seven win teams. Probably the matchup of the week, the Buffalo Bills versus the Kansas City Chiefs, Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. We wrap up Football Sunday next here, 1080 The Fan. Big matchup today. Also, I want to give a shout-out on the Vancouver 4 text line because showing us some love, P1 Farhad. I once imagined my Sunday without you guys. It was an awful imagination. Never again.
Good luck, man. We can't imagine Sunday without you.
Thank you. Yeah, we literally can. I mean, imagine nobody listening to us right now.
Yeah, that would suck, man.
I mean, do you think that's ever happened? Do you ever think there has not been one radio dial not tuned in at any point? I feel like that's probably happened.
I feel like it's happened.
Like, not one person in the Portland area.
Especially one of our 8 o'clock shows or something like that. Yeah, I feel like it's
literally
definitely happened.
Nobody tuned in.
Yeah. Like,
just
I always
talking
get,
to no one.
I always get nervous, like, on those days that are like there's a holiday on a Sunday or something like that. And it's like, ugh, I know nobody's listening to this show right now because nobody's in their car. So shout out to the ones that actually do.
Chiefs, Bills today. Chiefs just keep getting wins. I think the fun stat that's been going around is that teams that have started 9-0, they have the lowest point differential as a 9-0 team in NFL history. I think it's a point differential of 58. That is the lowest for a 9-0 team in NFL history. The Bills at 8-2 are looking very, very good. I'm rolling with the Bills in this game. I think they're going to win because it'd be classic for Buffalo to win a matchup like this that technically doesn't matter and then end up facing the Chiefs in the playoffs and losing that game. Because that's what seemingly happens, is that they lose every time they have to play the Chiefs in a actual meaningful, impactful playoff game. As far as like head-to-head, I want to say that the Bills and Josh Allen actually do have the edge in straight wins. I think in regular season games, Allen has beaten Mahomes more, but again, in the playoffs and in the games that matter the most, we know that the Chiefs have come out on top there. Yeah. Allen is 3-1 against Mahomes in the regular season. Mahomes is 3-0 in the playoffs.
Well, they're playing in Buffalo today at Highmark, so that gives the edge to the Bills, but I don't know. There's something about this NFL season.
The Bills will be playing in Harry Douglas's honor.
Yeah, you're right. You know, just because, man, that wipeout earlier, you know, I'm sure he's still sore, you know, from that. But
I'm good. I'm just a little lightheaded and bleeding out right now.
If we're being honest, Patrick Mahomes hasn't had the season Josh Allen is having, you know, so far. Although he does have a 9-0 record, Josh Allen's been playing better. He's probably the leader right now in the MVP race, if you were to ask anybody, just based on how he's played. But I don't know. I feel like this year I don't want to say the fix is in, but we've seen the referees be pretty favorable to the Chiefs over the past
nine weeks. You think Taylor is in those meetings making calls
I think it doesn't hurt to have her in the stands every week in the show. The biggest pop star in the world, you know, at your football game every single week. I don't think the NFL minds that type of publicity, you know. So, yeah, I do think that, because, I mean, if we look at some of these calls, some of these plays that referees have kind of flagged other teams for us, like, really? like you're going to put them in position to score for that wasn't, I don't know about that call. How many Chiefs games have we watched this season and said, I don't know about that call. Yeah, that was a bad one.
Like every team.
It seems like every game, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know about that one.
And I forget, and this is something that's been pointed out for, you know, last couple seasons, is their right tackle seemingly just getting an early jump on passing plays
every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
No worries, apparently.
And we all know about it. It's become like a running joke amongst football fans, but it's something that they haven't called. So it's like, it's a little bit weird. I do feel like the referees are going to give us some reason to put the Bills over, put the Chiefs over today. But I think currently the Chiefs are the best team based on their record, but Patrick Mahomes has thrown almost 10 picks and 9 games. Like, so
there was a point where he had more picks than touchdowns. I think through like week 7.
Yeah,
or
you're right.
Like that week 8. So yeah, it's been a very odd season for Patrick Mahomes.
Really quickly, sticking with the AFC, Anthony Richardson 6 of 7 for almost 100 yards already. The Colts beating the Jets 10-0.
I was saying that that could be a game that the Jets lose and the Colts win.
And
the Colts are a weird team.
Yeah.
Where like their defense is really good. They have a good defense, and it's just when they can get the offense going sometimes, it's a good team, but a very bizarre team at that as well.
And just seeing the Jets favored just makes you want to bet against it.
Oh, it's dude.
The
Jets were favored last week against the Cardinals, and I could not bet on the Cardinals any faster.
Yep.
I was like, I don't know what the hell's going on there.
That's exactly how I felt about Indy, so hopefully that stays true. Also, programming note, I'm an idiot. Ducks basketball actually is going to be on 1080 The Fan today at 3 p.m. They're hosting the Troy Trojans. That means Seahawks
are kicked to 9-10.
Yeah, they're kicked over to 9-10, so you're going to be listening to the pregame in a few minutes over on 9-10, not here on 1080.
The Seahawks have been demoted. The mighty Oregon Ducks basketball team that almost loses to the Portland Pilots and the Fighting Swigards. My God.
That was close.
Go Oregon.
That'll be the Pilots highlight right there, is them almost beating the Ducks this season.
We're in a close one. Guys.
Well, thank you as always. Anybody out there that is listening, another football Sunday in the bag. I believe we are at 9 a.m. again next week, and then we'll have December 1st off, so you will catch us next week before we take a little break before getting into the conference championship week there. So for Rashad Taylor, thank you as always.
My guy, gang.
Jordan Schultz, thank you as always.
Love you guys. Love you all out there. Enjoy the Sunday, please.
Yes, and all listeners, thank you for tuning in again to Football Sunday. We will catch you next Sunday at 9 a.m. Peace.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.